Now, Chock Full of Nuts is at Heavenly Coffee with Mark Maron.
I used to like Chock Full of Nuts when I lived in the East Coast.
Oh, why do I constantly respond to these things you say? I don't know how not to have a conversation. I don't want to detach and pretend like you're not there, so I react.
Well, you know, I've written around 400 or 500 of these, and they make no sense after the second.
So I'm going to quit responding to them. Yeah, look, folks, I'm going to be with my next guest at Laughing Liberally. That's tomorrow night at the Wadsworth Theater in Westwood. You can go to ktlk.com for information. Right now, you can call 877-520-1150 and say, Justin, I want two tickets. And Justin will give you two tickets if you ask him, if you're the first caller. That's 1-877-520-1150. Justin, Mark said to call and tell you to give me some tickets, and you'll get some tickets. If you come to the theater, you drive down there, you drive to the window, or walk up to the window, park your car first, don't drive right up onto the thing, but walk up to the window and say, I'd like two tickets, please, Condi. You get half price off. How do you like that? See, there's a fun code word. Do you get to play spy games?
Swordfish.
Right now
Condi.
In the studio. Condi. Who's that voice? You know that voice. I have known Jim David for years. He and I used to be two of the only left-leaners that got asked back on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Ain't that the truth.
Right? You've had your own Comedy Central Presents.
Indeed.
The Friar's Roast of Rob Reiner.
Indeed.
He's appeared on Bravo and all other kinds of stuff, and he's going to be at Laughing Liberally tomorrow night with me. The New York Post says this about Jim. Jim David's stand-up comedy was as effective as any I've heard in a club in the past year. Why would you put that on your website?
Because it's a review, and of course it was written back in the 20s. But you know, I mean, you know, you've got to go with what you've got.
You have so many great blurbs, but as I was reading your blurbs on your website, I get to that one. I'm like, what's that guy really saying?
He didn't see anybody. He'd actually seen the original Phyllis Diller talking about the electric car.
Oh, it was just so funny. I was like, you know, you might not have to leave that one.
I know, it's pretty pathetic.
No, it's not
pathetic.
How have you been? You look great.
I'm fine. I'm great. Everything's fine. I'm making brilliant and biting comments denouncing the hypocrisies of our times, cleverly juxtaposed with genital references nationally.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it,
man. You've got to wrap it around your penis.
There you go.
Yes, why not?
There you go.
Well, I heard that our lovely president today is backing a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Doesn't he have anything better to do?
No, because it's another distraction. It's like the distraction du jour,
mm-hmm.
and it's another way to get the fundamentalists out to vote. Because if we don't go vote, the homosexuals are going. Oh, in my home state in North Carolina, Mark, there is this guy named Vernon Robinson, African American gentleman. Not that matters.
Oh, he's crazy.
You know who I'm talking about?
I do know.
He has a new ad that's all over the internet, which is if you vote for his opponent, then North Carolina and the United States will be nothing but a siesta for illegal immigrants and homosexuals.
This guy's like a black Klansman.
I know. But that sounds like a great weekend to me. You know what I mean?
He paints a nice picture. Yeah.
and not the truth. But it's just amazing what he does.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely. Yeah. And no one even gives a crap about this president anymore, except the people that'll respond to this.
Well, because they've been knocking on his door and saying, well, now he's not doing what he said he was going to do, and that's why we put him in. And if he doesn't do it, well, we're just going to have to stay home.
That's right. And it's sort of a misconception that that they put him in. They're a minority in this country, and I think if most people were hard pressed to make a decision about whether or not to amend the Constitution to deny gay people of their rights.
It's not just that. It's just that most people, when you say they're a minority in this population, you're right. The majority of the population is church going. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But they're not these fanatical nutcases who, you know,
they're not full of hate.
They're not full of hate. Well, I mean, it's not so much hate as it's boredom. There's nothing to do in Topeka, Kansas.
So this is what they focus on?
Yeah, this is it. You know, and so they have to, you know, they don't know any gay people. They don't know any. I mean, of course, they all have a church choir director, so they know one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I mean, it's like they have nothing else to do, and so this is it. Look, it's like classic, you know, fear mongering. You know, it's like we can't focus on the problems like you were talking about, global warming.
Right.
We can't focus on the fact that Iraq is a total disaster. We can't focus on the fact that the Republicans have rigged elections and, you know, subverted the entire democratic process. We can't focus on the spying. We can't blah, blah, blah. What do we do? Let's get the fags.
Yeah. Let's make the homosexuals unhappy.
Well,
let's ruin their lives.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, and not only that, they think I'm in a relationship 18 years. I had no idea that my personal life is so controversial. I mean, we have the most boring life, right? We get up in the morning, we have cocktails, and then we do brunch, and then we go to schools and recruit,
sure,
and then we plot the destruction of the traditional family for about 2 hours it takes.
Your lifestyle is threatening his marriage.
That's correct. And then we do drugs and go dancing. And when the crystal meth wears off, we call it an early night. 2 days later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, there's all these anti-crystal meth commercials on television.
Yeah.
The only problem is finding a crystal meth user who still has a television.
Right.
But, folks.
He's just getting started.
Oh, yeah, I know.
If he has one.
I know. But, you know, it's like whatever.
Do you go, well, this is, I just had this weird, I think what you said is true, is that a lot of them don't know gay people, or if they do know gay people, they don't know that they're gay. And I think that a lot of times in smaller communities, if a few people were just out and a few people were just out there saying, we're just normal people. I mean,
right.
What the hell is this a problem? That maybe it would change their mind.
It would change their mind, but it's very difficult in small communities for you know, gay people to be out,
sure,
without running the risk of having their tires slashed. And that's literally the truth.
Or being beat up.
Or being, having their house bombed.
Kids.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, really? I mean, you know, at my age, if I get beat up by a bunch of high school kids, I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah, I would think.
That's not a good thing.
It's not.
Like, oh, God. At least I want to get beat up by a peer.
Yeah, someone on your level.
Exactly.
So, I haven't seen in a little while. How's New York been without me? Is that right?
New York misses you. New York is sorry that we lost your subversion to the City of Angels.
Oh,
we're
man.
Very, very sorry about
so
that.
So are you still getting, are those guys still being bullies over at the Cellar? Are you still dealing with
most of them don't hang out there too much anymore.
See, they're too big for it? Norton and Quinn and DePaulo?
They're all around.
Still,
you know what I mean?
Giving you a hard time?
Nah, they don't give me a hard time too much anymore because I come in and I do my show and then I leave. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I can't bear it.
And you know what's great about you is that, that you kill. They got nothing on you.
No.
I mean, that was always the amazing thing. Is these guys who are, I think, you know, actually not, they're not sociopaths. They're good-hearted guys when you get right down to it. But
a couple of them are not.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them who are not good guys.
Okay,
now,
we'll leave it at
gild
that.
The lily.
But the great thing about you is that you know you get up there and it's like bam. Now you know argue with that. Say whatever you want to say about me, but I just killed. See you later.
There you go.
And, hey, that's good. That's
there's
good.
Nothing. You know, if you're a comedian, there's nothing that a great audience response will not put whip right into shape.
And that's
you,
absolutely
you know
right.
If you have a bad day, you know what I mean, and then you go on and you have a good set. Hey, life is worth living again.
That's what they're there for. For us
exactly.
to use as batteries.
That's right.
For our well-being.
For to channel our rage.
Exactly.
That's why you're really going to have fun doing this show Laughing Liberally tomorrow
yeah.
night because
yeah.
we've done it twice in New York. It packed Town Hall, which is, you know, a big Broadway
nice
theater.
Room. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a great room. And you've done that, right?
No.
Oh, you've never done Town Hall?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'm
but
small time.
No. No, please. What are
all
you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're nationally
yeah.
known. My cousin, who has the hots for you in North Carolina, she you know, lost her cookies when you went
devastated.
Off the air.
Was she?
Oh.
I got to get her hooked up with this one. So we'll be back with Jim David.
All
We're
right.
also going to have Katie Halper come in here. She's also a comedian on the show. Dino Wadala is here. So it's going to be funny time. We'll be back. Stay with us.
And now he still thinks Batwoman is straight. Mark Maron.
They're going to cut down on portions in restaurants. That's what they're recommending people to do. I think it's a good idea.
Oh, well, sure.
I think it's ridiculous.
Everybody's too fat.
Fat
country.
But initially I thought, is it a question of self-control? Why should it be the restaurant's responsibility to train us to eat less? But the truth of the matter is, when I see a mountain of food on the plate, I don't want to waste it. The thought of it being thrown away means that I have to eat all of it.
Plus, the restaurant will make more money. Save a lot of money.
If they start skimping on portions to help people out?
Yeah.
Well, they should sell it that way to those people.
But where does that leave the all-you-can-eat buffet?
Well, those are for a certain type of people, and I think those should just exist.
They really do eat all you can eat.
Dude, I've been to some of those buffets where I've on the road or something.
Oh, yeah.
And you see people that are so fat.
And then they get in the pool, people head for higher ground.
Oh, my God. We were at it. My friend Pat and I were at a barbecue the other day, my wife and I, and there was, like, I just saw this fat lady,
And now, look, okay, I don't want to be rude, but I saw this fat person, like, they plopped down a bucket of chicken, and they went right to it, and she's just sitting there eating it, and I felt like I should say something. But you can't do that.
No, you can't.
You can't walk up to people and go, really? I mean, really? It's wrong, right?
I mean, really.
Really,
madam. I mean, please, could you possibly consume less?
That's Jim David now in the studio with us. Dean Obadallah is actually one of the funniest Palestinian Sicilian guys working in the business today.
I'm the top five.
Yeah, yeah. In the last while, he's been honored with the Bill Hicks Spirit Award for thought-provoking comedy. He's performed his one-person show, I Come in Peace, at this year's New York Fringe Festival. He also tours with Scott Blakeman, a Jew, in their Stand Up for Peace performances at colleges around the country. He's also on the Laughing Liberally show tomorrow night with myself and Jim David at the Wadsworth Theater. Welcome back to the show, Dean.
Thanks for having me. I'm the Middle Eastern flavor in this show. I'm the hummus of this show. It's going to be on the falafel side dish.
Yeah, did you, like, when you come into town, do you hook up with the other Arab comics?
I do.
The other four?
I'm the top five in my group in America right now. It's me, Ahmed, who's actually outside, Aaron Cater, Maz Jobrani, who's Iranian, close enough.
Yeah, and then there's, who's the other kid, Napolitano,
Nasri Malak?
No, not Nasri Malak. The guy I just worked with Ahmed, and now I'm spacing. Who is it? Sam Tripoli.
Sam
Tripoli, who's not even Arab.
He's not even Middle Eastern or something, or Armenian or something.
Yeah, but the woman who owns the comedy store said he looked Arab, so he's like, I'm sticking with it. She thinks I'm Arab. I'm getting spots. I'm going to play it out. And he does the Arab shows.
He does. It's helped some comics' careers.
I'm going to change my name to Najim Bejravi.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna, that's going to work for you.
Oh, no kidding.
So, wait. I didn't realize this, though. I went to your website. I'm going to everyone's website now.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very smart... you present yourself in a very interesting way on the website.
Oh, I do. In a suit.
The Dean of Comedy.
No. Dean of Comedy. Not the Dean.
All right,
too arrogant. Just Dean. No, I made a distinction on purpose. It's DeanofComedy.com.
But I had no idea you were a lawyer.
I was a lawyer.
There's many comic lawyers. What was the decision there? Did you get disenchanted? Did you feel like it was all a lie? Or you just say, I need more attention? What happened?
The other lawyers in my firm, seriously, so there was a funniest lawyer competition, New Jersey Bar Association, and they came up to me as a group, and they go, you should do this. And I think that was honestly their way of saying, you suck at being a lawyer. You're like the worst lawyer in this firm. Maybe you can use your stupid sense of humor to make some money. I swear, they came to me. I'm like, really?
Uh-huh.
And I always like making people laugh. So I said, okay. And I did it. And it just, the bug bit. You know?
That was it?
I started doing open mics. And it's been a miserable life ever since.
Well,
I'm here in L.A. doing a show with you and Jim David Saturday night and Will Durst. And what a great lineup. Rick Overton and Katie Halper.
That's great how we weave that in. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're
that's
like,
here,
we're having
Mark.
A conversation about being a lawyer. And bam, there we're pitching the bit. We're pitching the show.
We're trying to sell tickets. We have like 8 people.
No, stop it.
That's not true.
Come on, I heard it was 800.
It is 800.
I'm kidding.
Is that what they keep saying?
It's going to be like Woodstock tomorrow night. Let's get real.
A lefty Woodstock.
I'll be honest with you, though. As a lawyer, you know, there were other lawyers who did comedy, and if you ever wonder about whether you made the right choice, just go find Al Lubell in Union Square.
Talking to himself,
wearing his sweatpants. Look,
I carried his clothes in the bag. I just had the conversation today with Ahmed.
You know what's funny, though? Al Lubell was arguably one of the funniest bastards in the world. It's just so close to the bone. He is so self-involved, and you know, when you watch him, I don't know if you know.
He was just on Letterman.
Good, yeah. Well, that's what happens. He'll come out of nowhere, he'll shave, and he'll do his thing.
And do Letterman.
Yeah.
You know? He's been on Letterman like 6 times. He was on Letterman like a month ago.
So self-involved. And you watch him, and there's part of you that's laughing. The other part's like, oh, my God.
He did this joke where he said, I'm so lazy, I don't even have a punchline. That's not the joke, but I mean the way that he did it was so perfect.
He's very funny. He used to close with that "I'm irritating" song. Do you know the soul song?
Yeah, he does it still.
Does he still?
I saw him at the Improv in New York, dude, not too long ago, maybe a few months ago. The whole song.
Look, he's all full of the beans, Dean. You know, he's young. He's got his guns. He's writing new material. He's like, he's still doing it. Kevin Meaney's still closing with "We Are the World." Come on, people. You wait 15 years down the line.
I'm angry now. Come on. I'm replacing. I'm gonna be the Arab Mark Maron in New York, like bitterly screaming at people, you know who I am.
Have they asked you to do that show yet?
Which one?
The morning show? Maybe you should go ask him for a job at Air America.
I would take it a second. I'd have you on, though.
You would? A lot?
You had me on your test week. I've been, this is the third studio I followed you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on the lam.
You know? I love you, man. I think it's great that your people are doing comedy now.
It's better than the alternative, okay? But let's keep in perspective here, okay?
The Jews had this market cornered for years. It was just black people and Jewish people doing comedy.
Arabs Arabs doing comedy, you're going to guarantee some audience because at least the FBI guys will be there.
Right, ATF.
You guys draw a lot of people, though. When do you do these big Arab comedy shows with these guys? Right?
We do some of the shows. They do Acts of Evil. We do some of the New York Arab American Comedy Festival, which we did in L.A. in January at the Laugh Factory. But we've done a bunch of shows. And if you go to the cities with a lot of Arabs...
Yeah. Dearborn, Michigan?
Oh, my God. Dearborn is Mecca. Dearborn, like, you pray towards
Dearborn. I was actually talking to somebody, and I said, why are so many Arabs in Dearborn? And he said, we came for the food.
Really?
And I just, yes, that's what he said. We came for the food. And I just thought, somebody sitting in Pakistan going, the hummus here is very bad.
Yeah, we gotta go
I know a place where the hummus grows from the ground. It is called Dearborn in Michigan.
How far is that from Detroit?
Very close.
Like it's very close? Do you know why there's so many Arabs there?
Yeah, because Ford Motor Company was there, and they took unskilled labor, and they had all these immigrants who worked at Ford Motor Company getting jobs. That's why.
And they brought their families with them and reached out to people. Where are most of them from?
A lot are from Lebanon. Lebanese are the biggest amount of Arab Americans in the country anywhere, and Dearborn's huge, but also a lot of Iraqis up there. They fled to there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
After the first Gulf War?
After all, yeah, the first Gulf War a lot. Yeah, that's where they were voting from there. If you remember during the last Iraq elections, they go up there, let them vote. Up in Dearborn for prime minister.
I don't know a lot about Palestinian heritage, and yet you're half Palestinian.
Some. My father's Palestinian from Palestine. Yes.
It's just like as a Jew, growing up as a Jew, we were
Jewish.
I am. Sorry.
I'm out of here. What kind of show is this? I can't work with you people.
Come on. You have a Jewish guy. You have a fella who is gay here. You have a man who is strangely a cantankerous liberal Germanish type of fella.
Atheist.
Yeah, atheist. Yeah. Well, these aren't religious beliefs.
I thought he was the censor. He's part of the show. He's just like staring at us.
No, he's very
staring at you because
he's taking it in.
Yeah. He's taking it in.
But but I was brought up to believe Palestinians were bad.
It's true. They're horrible people, but I hide it through comedy. You've got to use
what
you got.
You want to laugh? When I was growing up in North Carolina, I heard... I mean, I lived next door to a Jewish family, and they were great, and my parents never told me anything bad about Jews. They always just said they don't believe that Jesus, that we do, and that's it. There was no judgment, but I heard not one word about Palestinians or Arabs or anything. Not a word. Mm. I mean, like when I was, there, it just wasn't on the radar at all.
It's emerged over the last few years. I mean, it's socially growing up, nobody knew where Palestine was or where it may have been and anything about it, but it's been an interesting experience. And the audiences are intrigued, especially liberal progressive people, like, oh, Palestinian, what's your father like? You know, and people say interesting things when I tell them I'm Arab. Like, oh, they try to be nice. Like, oh, you're Arab. Wow, I love hummus. Stuff like that. You know?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that there's a schism within the liberal community and within the Jewish community is that you have a new wave of liberal Jews who are Palestinian or sympathetic to the Palestinians' plight. And then you have these old school liberal Jews who are like, Israel at all costs. And they turn out to be sort of Spartan in their belief system. And there's a real sort of, generational fight going on.
The only thing I would beg of people who are Jewish, who are extremely compassionate people, I've done just a show last night at Hillel, a Jewish group at UC Santa Barbara. Mm. If they apply the same ethics and morals to every issue that makes them liberal on American government policy to the Middle East, we'll find so much more common ground. Then Israel's always right and the Palestinians are always wrong. And if I applied everything, it's Palestinians are always right and Israel's always wrong, they'll never find common ground. There's so much more where the two people can coexist. And the recent polls show 65% of both Palestinians and Israelis, and a poll taken after Hamas's victory showed 65% of both sides believe in two-state solutions side by side living together.
It's going to have to be like that.
There's no choice. No one's going anywhere. There's millions on each side.
Again, this is hilarious.
Yeah, but it's funny if people hate each other, though.
It is. Or a conflict is, maybe a sitcom like Everybody Loves Ramadan on WB.
I love when we start talking about this because it's like, come to the comedy show because there's going to be more of this. We're going to talk about Palestinian-Israeli relations all night long.
But it will be in the form of a joke.
Yes, in the form of a joke. Jim David, Dino Badala are here tomorrow night, laughing liberally. We're going to give away another set of tickets in just a minute. That's Ahmed? Ahmed. Who let him in? Does he have a bomb? I can't hear him. We got to get you in here for a second.
We can give him away.
Give him away, Ahmed.
He's an Egyptian. Give him away.
All right. We'll be back in a second. We'll give away the tickets. But, we got to do this, too. Jim, you seem like they brought it up. You're a little quiet, a little pensive.
Yeah.
You got something on your mind? What do you say we give the old Wheel of Anger a spin?
Okay.
And the wheel lands on... What the hell is this? Emotional support animals?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's coming up, too. Stay with us. It's the Mark Maron Show.
He makes his own gravy. Mark Maron.
You've used that one before.
I have?
Yes. Oh, man. Now we're starting to repeat things. Katie Helper will be out here in a minute. She is a comic and blogger and filmmaker and one of the creator or the person who came up with Laughing Liberally, which is tomorrow night at the Walford Theater down there in Santa Monica. You can call right now, 877-520-1150, and say, Justin, dude, Maron says give me two tickets, and he will give you two tickets. 877-520-1150. If you come down to the theater. If you need to know where that is, you can go to KTLK.com and check it out. It's actually at 11301 Wilshire Boulevard in Westwood, the Wadsworth Theater. If you're doing the walk-up thing and you say Condi to the person who is selling you tickets, you will get half-price tickets. Dig that. I'm going to give away one more set as we got in the last half hour. In studio, Dean Obadalla, Palestinian-Sicilian comedian. I'm sorry, I set you up like that, right?
It's all the time.
It's all right, though, right?
It's fine. That's what I am.
All right. Jim David, comedian from the South, lives in New York now. Sometimes talks about gay things, right? You got mad at me once,
I get mad at you?
I think I insinuated I don't remember what I said, but I certainly didn't mean it. But it had something to do with misusing the word gay.
I have no recollection whatsoever.
Thank God.
As long as you cleaned up afterwards, I'm fine.
I think we made up. I don't know if it was if it got that filthy, but right now. We're here with Jim, and with the Wheel of Anger, we have spun it, and we've got emotional support animals.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Mark?
Yeah.
Before I get on to emotional support animals, can I just say this?
Mm-hmm.
Smokers need to start dying faster. I'm sorry you're all addicted and stuff, and you got into it when you were young and stupid, but hey, I never told you to go to that Morrissey concert.
All right.
The fact is, every time one of you butt burners takes a cigarette break outside your place of work or at the beach or in a park, you're robbing me. You're sticking your Chesterfield 100 deep into my chest and robbing me of my right to breathe fresh, clean air. I ask you, what makes you think you have the right to force me to walk a gauntlet of secondhand smoke every time I wish to support my local mom and pop and get an extra purchase of electrified nipple clamps?
Yeah.
Or walk into a bar and yell, "All you pussy bikers suck." If you want to immerse yourselves in a cloud of toxic gas, go to Arby's and sit next to Paul Sorvino. Besides, the rest of us are already paying out our polyp-laden wazoos and tax dollars just to keep you losers on life support long after you should have dropped dead on the golf course. And no, it does not make it all right if you ask, mind if I smoke? Hell no. Mind if I crap in your mouth? Which, of course, brings me to today's Wheel of Anger subject, emotional support animals. But before I go on, I just want to make this public service announcement. To the owner of the brown Humvee with the license plate, Spesh 1, you're neither special nor the only one driving a 6-ton Panzer in Burbank. You're only a putz. A big putz in a brown car that pollutes, wastes precious resources, and looks like a big turd on wheels. My wish is that one morning during your post-crispy cream nap, somebody welds you shut inside your Hummer with nothing but a bag full of pretzels and airdrops you over Haditha, where you can help the eager locals recreate the last scene from Last Day of the Day of the Locust. Last scene from Day of the Locust. Edit that out later. And finally, to the guy who sent that email with the heading Albuquerque Diaper Headsman Connector, thanks for the note. At first I thought it was spam. Thank goodness I had the presence of mind to read the whole message. Now I know more about Albuquerque Diaper Headsman Connector than I ever did before. Thank you. And now you can look forward to my reply, Bloat Universal Scarce Borg Abernathy.
Jim, I'm sorry, but we're running out of time on this one. We have guests in the studio. Now, you never got to the emotional support animals. Well, I was looking forward to that.
That's all right, Mark. You know, I never had anything to say about emotional support animals anyway. That was just a clever narrative device.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for playing along, hippie.
Uh-huh.
You've just taken a ride on my Wheel of Anger. I'm Jim Earl, and you've been Earled.
That, you know, Jim, I got to be candid with you, and you guys can feel free to get involved in this conversation.
What?
Now, I know that some of these Wheel of Angers, these are obviously your real feelings, and you really are one of those people that don't think that smokers should be allowed to smoke outside either?
No. The hell no. You spend all day in a crappy cubicle in your office, and then you walk through the entrance to get some sunlight and fresh air, and these These pigs are out there puffing away, and you have nowhere to go. You have no escape from cigarette smoke.
You can't walk another 10 feet or have them walk another 10 feet?
Why should I walk another 10 feet to get away from their toxic fumes?
Because they apparently it bothers you.
They should go to a cell somewhere.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Laughing Andy? Do you hear this? This is what you call liberal fascism.
Liberal fascism.
They could be offended by, your hair. Or your looks.
Yeah,
they could be offended by that.
They don't have to inhale that.
It's not going to kill them either.
P.S. I loved the reference to the final scene of The Day of the Locust, because that's where Donald Sutherland jumps up and down on this little boy until he bleeds to death. It's the most horrifying moment.
Then he gets ripped apart, doesn't he?
Yeah. And that's why I love Hollywood.
I know.
What a place. So, listen, Dino Vidala. Tomorrow night with me and Jim David, Laughing Liberally, and Katie Halper. I'm not going to call her Janet anymore. Will Durst, Rick Overton is going to be there. Is that the lot of it? There's going to be video presentation.
It's a great show.
With Janine Garofalo and there's some other stuff.
And Sam Cedar from Air America.
I know Sam. He does a show on this network.
That is
correct. Right before our show that we do here.
That is correct.
Sam's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
We will be back with Katie Halper. Look, I don't even smoke anymore.
Cigars.
I don't smoke anything. I quit that 2 months ago.
You're a poser.
Huh?
Poser.
What do you mean I'm a poser? Listen to you. Self-righteous, strident man.
Poser.
I'm not a poser.
Poser.
We'll be back.